Hello everyone, this is the Mindful Chef, Chef Leisha Barnett, and today we're going to talk about flavor. Flavor, flavor, flavor! Okay, so I'm from Oakland, as you guys already know, and I was born in the 70s, so that means like I'm all about the old school hip hop. So when I think about flavor, Craig Mack, Matt Craig comes into my mind, flavor in your ear. So if you are not aware of that song, you need to go and check it out. Flavor in your ear. That's just a little side note. All right, so we're going to talk about flavor today. Flavor, flavor, flavor is one of my favorite subjects because it's literally not diet related. Yay! Woo! Okay, diets exhaust me, as you probably already know if you've listened to any of my podcasts. But flavor is something that we are all searching for when we eat, no matter where we fall on this whole diet spectrum. So I like to talk about flavor because it doesn't usually involve the semantics and the politics of those who abstain from meat, dairy, fish, beef, pork, whatever it is your little categories are, and no matter where you stand as far as like your plan, if you're paleo, keto, and all of those other things. Flavor is just about the natural properties that the food has and the things that you can do to them to create a better dish. And I find that that is one of the most complicated things that people want to learn is, how do I make something taste really good? Because I go in the kitchen and start throwing pots and nothing comes out the way I want it to. I hear that a lot. And I hear also a lot of people wanting to explore flavor profiles that maybe they didn't grow up eating. So I want to talk to you today a little bit about how you can create some of those flavor profiles at home very easily, inexpensively, and just to understand what flavor is altogether by itself. Because when you get the understanding of flavor, then you will know where to go, right? So when we're talking about flavor, we're talking about a few things. Like when you really want a dish to be good and you call something flavorful, it usually has a few properties. It checks off several boxes, right? Usually the smell is like the first thing that hits you, knowing that a dish smells really great and that appeals to your sense of smell. And then when you eat it, the way it feels in your mouth is also something. And that could be any number of things. We're talking about something silky, smooth, soft, crunchy, crispy, feathery, something that requires a lot of chew. You know, a lot of times people talk about having different, I like to chew, chewing, chewing, chewing. So those are some elements. So you have the taste, the smells, the sights. You really want it to look good. And when something appeals to your eye, then you know it's going to be good in your tummy. And sometimes what is appealing to the eye is definitely subjective. That's something that we can talk about on a little side note, because I feel like a lot of times there are some wonderfully delicious things that might be off-putting to other people because the color is muted or just one tone and things like that, but they can meet all the needs of the flavors that you are looking for. And this is all 100% subjective. Again, like flavor, what you like, what you're looking for is very personal in nature. A lot of times we think that, you know, especially when you're trained to cook, there are certain right and wrong ways to do things that they teach you how to do. But there's a way that I like to cook potatoes, like breakfast potatoes, that would necessarily really be the wrong way to cook the breakfast potatoes. I mean, like, these potatoes have to be cooked at a high heat first so that they're a little bit crispy, slightly burnt, and then the heat comes down so that the rest of the time they don't stay as crispy. They get soft, and I put the onions in there. And so, yeah, it's a whole thing. I overcook the potatoes because that's what I'm looking for. But when I'm eating those potatoes, how I eat them with everything else on the plate is that building the flavor, right? So I love eggs with potatoes and salsa and like avocado. So I might do, let's say, an easy egg or a medium egg so that that yolk will run through into the potatoes, giving it a velvety texture with some little dollops of sriracha or salsa. And that's a really nice meal for me, and it has to have onions. Like, I'm an onion fanatic, so it has to have onions, and usually two types of onions, because I want the nice sweet yellow onion to cook with the potato, and then the bite of the green onion that's on top with the egg. So again, how you do things is subjective because it depends on what you're looking for. Are you looking for the salty, the sweet, the sour, the bitter, the heat? Do you want it to be spicy? All of those things come into play when you are building your dish and your meal. And texture plays a large role as well. I'm someone who likes a lot of different textures in one meal so that it checks off the boxes. I like someone who likes a lot of different flavors in one meal. So my plate, a balanced plate for me, will tend to have something that's crunchy, something that's salty, something a little bit acidic, something a little bit sweet, all together, something creamy on the same plate. That is my perfect plate, really. And the heat too, something spicy. Sometimes there's an item or a thing on the plate that meets the needs of more than one thing. Like when I do my pickled beets, I put them in a jar with the pickled jalapenos so that not only am I getting my pickled beet fix with the tart and the nice texture of the beet, but it's also spicy, so I get my kick. So when you're thinking about what you're going to cook, that's kind of like that's the starting point for me when I'm thinking in terms of how am I feeling today? Am I feeling smooth and creamy, or am I feeling crunchy and spicy? And then I start to build my meal based on that. So we're gonna get a little bit into some of these things, and we're gonna have some fun. And I wanna teach you how to build on flavor and infuse different types of spices and blends that you may not have ever worked with before in order to achieve something that you'll be really, really happy with. So if you'll stay with me, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hello, Chef Leisha here with your family meal plan tip. If you're struggling to create a meal plan for your family, here is one thing I think you can try that will be really helpful. Get your kids in on the mix. Give each one of your children a day to cook. Don't worry if they're young and they can't cook on their own. This will be a family activity. Basically, give the child an opportunity to choose their own menu. Have them research recipes, put the ingredients on the shopping list, assist in the shopping process, and then help you cook if they can't make it themselves. It's a really great way to get the entire family involved, and it will teach them wonderful life lessons. And let's not forget all about the opportunity for family bonding. Try it today. Thank you for coming back. Okay, so today we're talking about flavor and how to infuse flavors into your dishes and work with them. So the first type of cuisine or flavor I want to discuss is curry. Curry is one of my favorite flavors, and for many, many reasons. There are many different types of curries. And we could be talking about an Indian curry, which is still very broad because it's like a Middle Eastern curry. There are still different types, specifically from the variations between Northern and Southern India, as well as Thai curry, Chinese curry. So I've never met a curry I don't like. That's the first thing. But understanding how to use it and creating dishes that are delicious at home, that mimic the flavors that you find in restaurants without having to spend the money of going to a restaurant is one of the reasons why I learned or decided to start learning how to create curry dishes. So I want to talk about a basic Indian type of curry because it is my favorite of the curries. Even though I love all the curries, I really do like the Indian curry. There's just this depth of flavor in all curries that makes it really exciting. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people want to try to create these things at home. Now, the first rule to remember is that creating a curry dish is not as basic as just using a curry powder. You know, throwing some pots in a di some food in a pot and then putting in curry powder. There are so many different flavors and layers to it, and in order to really get the best out of them, let's say you want to make a dish that features a vegetable curry dish that you could serve over rice, something that's warm and comforting and delicious for all of your friends. You might be hosting dinner and someone is vegan, someone's gluten-free, and someone is something else. And curry is a good go-to for that group of folks. So you want to think about different spices that work well with a curry. Yes, you can definitely go for one actual blend, or you can mix in a few other spices together to create your own blend. So excuse me, you want allspice, cardamom, some type of chili peppers, and the level of desired heat is up to you. I like stuff pretty hot, so if you are entertaining or if you're someone who doesn't like the heat, you can omit the chili completely. I love cilantro with curry. Cilantro is especially present in South Indian cuisine. Cinnamon, cloves, coriander. Coriander is the seed of the cumin, of the cilantro. Excuse me, I'm all turned around. So you get the cilantro, you get the coriander, the cumin, and the cardamom and allspice and star anise. And then you have this wonderfully complex dish. If you are someone who experiments like this and you want to try these different flavors, my suggestion is to shop in the bulk section of your local store that carries spices. That way you can get just a little bit of each one to play around with the flavors. That way you know exactly what you want to see, right? So those are very heavy spices. I know that you've heard them all before, and they're very pungent. They're very strong in the flavor that they bring. And one of the ways that we can tone down the heat or different elements of your curry dish in your pot would be to introduce other factors like fat, acid, and salt, and something creamy as well. So we'll talk about that too. So when you're getting started, let's say you got yourself a Dutch oven and you put some oil in the pan, you put it on medium heat, and then you want to throw some of your spices in there. The ones that I mentioned are great in varying amounts. Again, if you're somebody who currently already eats Indian cuisine, then you probably could be heavier with the hand than those who are not. So you want to throw the spices in the heat and give it a little stir. And you're making the room just smell wonderful, and you're infusing the oil with the spice so that everything is getting happy and delicious and wonderful. Now add your aromatics, like your onions, because you always need onions. You know that, dealing with me. Okay, so you want to add your onions and then some other your vegetables. This is a good dish that will stand up to like you get your heartier vegetables and your gentle ones at the end. So you can go with some chunky carrots, some eggplant, what else? Some potatoes. You can put those in there and beans. You can make this a bean dish. You can throw in some garbanzo beans or chickpeas. They're the same thing. Or lentils. You can put those in the pot. And you are going to let all of this get happy with some broth or water. And you're going to simmer. Bring the heat down and you simmer it. You're going to salt and pepper it. And then you're going to let this cook through so that all the flavors can marry. Give it about 15 to 20 minutes. And then you want to taste it. And then you can say, okay, well, I want to tone down a particular thing. Maybe you put too much star anise or allspice, or not enough cardamom, or not enough coriander. You can play around with how to bring out different elements. Or maybe it's too spicy. Maybe it's just too much, and you don't know exactly what much is. So this is where you get creative, and you're gonna throw in some coconut milk or another non-dairy based milk if you can't tolerate the coconuts. But if you use a coconut milk or coconut cream, those two items will tone it down. The coconut will tone it down. And don't worry if you're thinking that it's going to taste like coconut. Really, the only brand of coconut cream or milk that I have tried that actually tastes like coconut is one in particular from Trader Joe's. The rest of them tend to be very mild, and you really don't notice it unless you have a very super, super sensitive palate. So you can throw in the coconut or other non-dairy milk and add some cilantro, add some green onions, add some lime juice. Okay? And now you are layering this pot full of flavor. You're adding salt if you need it. You're adding pepper if you need it. But this is really something that you can put on and be done within 30 minutes and then serve over basmati or jasmine rice. And then have accoutrements, like I like to say, on the side. So you have chilies, you have some chutneys, you have some cilantro, more green onions, whatever your little heart desires, more limes to put on top of your bowl. And then you can wow all of your friends and family into thinking that you just created this magical dish. So that is my how to build the flavor profile for curry, for an Indian curry, is to you start with that searing hot Dutch oven or cast iron pan, and you start to layer in the vegetables. And again, you can actually put chicken in that as well, or some other meats. A lot of different belief systems in Indian culture don't eat beef or pork. So you will see a lot of menus that have goat on them and chicken, but not necessarily those other two. But if it's in your kitchen, your house, your rules, so you do it how you want to. So yeah, I think you should try it out. And if you do, let me know. But that's how you build an Indian-based flavor profile. All right. So if you decide to do that, definitely let me know. We're going to move on to the next one. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll come back and teach you another flavor profile to build. All right. So just give me one more second. I'll be right back. Hey everyone, Chef Leisha here. Here is your eating out tip of the day. When you are going to a new restaurant, consider asking the wait staff for their recommendation for the day. I love doing this when I go to a restaurant that is an independently owned restaurant. That way, you get a chance to know who the chef is and where their mind is with the food. A lot of times, the item may not even be on the menu, and you get to try something new and wonderful and make the chef happy. So ask them what they recommend that you order and try something new. Step out your comfort zone. That's my eating out tip. Until next time. And we're back. Thank you for sticking around. Now I want to tell you how to build in Greek flavors into your dishes. Yes, I love food from all around the world, and Greek food is no different. If you have been to Greece like I have, then you just know exactly what I'm talking about. And I am lucky that here where I live, that there are a couple of spots where I can get my Greek fix in. But sometimes, what do you do when you want to ease into a new flavor? Well, I make a burger, and that's exactly what I did when I used to work as a sorority house chef in Maryland at the University of Maryland. One of the most popular dishes that I created was the Greek burger. I used a turkey burger base because my clientele was health conscious and they wanted something that had a little less fat in it. So I just grabbed some ground turkey, and then the magic happens. I took allspice, star anise, basil, bay leaves, fennel, and mixed that into the actual meat. Yes, I did. It was amazing. And the star of that dish was the pinch of nutmeg that I put into the burger as well. So when you get this, and let's not forget the oregano. Oh my goodness, I almost just glazed right over that. You definitely need your oregano. So you mix all of this into your burger patty. And if you're feeling really adventurous and you really want to kind of recreate something magical, you're going to put a little bit of feta in the burger too. Just break it up into small little pieces and then actually fold it into the turkey burger. You don't want to overmix your turkey patty because if you handle it too much, then it'll be tough and you don't want a tough burger. You want something that stays juicy, right? So you're going to season that with salt, pepper, onion, and garlic powder, and you are going to grill that bad boy just like any other time. Now you want to dress it with, instead of using your traditional mayonnaise and tomatoes, you want to dress it a little differently. So you're going to take tzatziki sauce, yes, that wonderful yogurt cucumber dill sauce, and you're going to put that on top of your burger. And then you will take some slices of cucumbers and arugula, and bam, there you go. You got a nice little Greek-inspired turkey burger. I really love the Greek flavors. I love, love, love them all. I also enjoy falafel, so if you wanted to have that on the side with this, you can. And here's a little tip for you. Do not feel pressured to make falafel from scratch. I know I do it, but not often because it can become time consuming and sometimes I just want something really quick. So go to your favorite store, Trader Joe's perhaps, and get their falafel mix. It is wonderful. It tastes delicious. It's just add water. I know, gasp. Oh, the nerve. But it's a really great mix that can be baked also instead of fried so that you're cutting down on that grease factor and you're all good to go. I love a good falafel plate. I tend to make that for dinner occasionally where I just make a few falafel and I have hummus and tahini and tzatziki, cucumbers, red onions, tomatoes, and just have at it. It's really, really great. Kalamata olives are also a good addition to your burger. If you like the tartness of the burger, you can put those on the side or even mix them inside of the burger too. But that is just one of the ways that I would infuse the Greek flavors into in your home. And that's very easy, honestly. It's not a very difficult type of cuisine to mimic, but I know that there's some things that intimidate people. So that's why I felt like a burger was a really good way to get folks into it. So you should definitely try that at home for yourself, okay? And what else can we talk about? Creole cuisine. I love and enjoy Creole cuisine because it's this perfect fusion of the Spanish influence and the French influence into a Southern American food, and that is really, and it's mostly French, but occasionally you can feel the Spanish influence with the types of sausages that are used and things like gumbos. But Creole cuisine is complex. It is very much more complex than most people give it credit for because of the French influences. We are talking about the Holy Trinity of Creole cuisine is your onion, your carrots and your celery, as well as you'll find bell peppers a lot, and bay leaves are used often, and just a lot of layering of flavors through different methods. And it really starts in making the best basic sauce you could imagine for just about anything. Like Creole food is all about the sauce, whether it is the roux for the gumbo or the sauce of the etouffee and all of the bouillabaisse. All of these things are just about knowing how to layer your flavor. So really, when it comes to Creole cuisine, I suggest studying the five mother sauces of cookery. In culinary school, you have to learn the five mothers, and that's a whole nother podcast by itself, but I think I'll talk about that another time. But basically, if you know how to make a really good base and sauce, going forward from there, you can do just about anything in Creole cuisine. But we are talking about food that is rich and delicious, and often featuring wonderful items from the sea, like oysters, crawfish, and shrimp, and all of those elements as well. Because in the southern Gulf of America, we have that the Gulf there with all of the wonderful, delightful treats. You'll find lots of folks eating frog legs and alligator and things like that. Sorry, vegans, if you're listening. But I have seen some and tasted some really great meatless dishes that were Creole cuisine. So definitely try those out. And Dewey sausage with red beans and rice is a whole movement onto itself. It's a meal. So, yeah, those basically you want to know the sauces. You want to learn how to take a roux and use your whisk and start with a low temp. The hint with the Creole dishes and basic French cooking is having good quality cookware and knowing how to really utilize your gas stove. Because without those two elements, you might struggle a little bit. It takes a little while to learn the curve. And always invest in some good hot sauce, because that's just what we do with the Creole cuisine. So that's it for today. I didn't want to keep you guys too long. I just wanted to give you a couple of different tips for infusing flavors into your own home and your dishes. And we'll come back and visit some other types of cuisine and discuss how to layer flavors and other things. But these were three that I really enjoy personally. And I wanted to speak on them a little bit so that you would get an idea. And hopefully, going forward, you will be able to feel a little bit freer and more excited to branch out a bit and kind of work your way through some of the different flavor profiles that you may have been looking at and really just unsure of. Try something new. The default for me, I really feel like, is going with the burger, because most people already know how to cook them. So yeah, the burger is probably the easiest and your best bet. So try that one today, and then save the others for like a Sunday dinner with the family and friends. Okay, until next time, this has been the Mindful Chef. Go ahead and shoot me an email, info@leishabarnett.com, if you have any questions about any of the content on the podcast. You can follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter as Chef Leisha Lee, often cussing out people. So, yeah, it's not as clean on Twitter as it is here. Fair warning to everyone. But also, you can catch me on Instagram as Chef Leisha Lee and on Facebook as Chef Leisha Barnett. Until next time, this has been the Mindful Chef. Thank you so much for joining me. Bye bye.